Hello, welcome to The Mac Show.
Yes, we're back. Sorry about posting late last week, but I was trying to fix the big show because we've got all of the big show, but I can't close the file because we had a crash of Wirecast in the middle, and no matter what I seem to do, it doesn't seem to work. So I've got some software, and that hasn't worked. So we're on it. We're going to post the big show, but I just forgot that I hadn't posted the Mac Show in the meantime while I was screwing around. So we're going to put some pretty quickly back to back. Joining me, fabulous bunch to talk about Mac. Starting us off top left in the webcam, it's Muller, pressed into service because Doc's not shown up.
Oh, hello.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm fine, thank you.
And what's been going on in Muller world? Because we haven't had you on camera since last week, have we? So
no. I did a whodunit for Aston Hall.
All right, and who did it?
Not me. I was blamed by all the kids as usual. one woman said, kept saying to me, "I've seen you on TV. What have you done on TV? I'm not an actor." "Yes, you are. Don't lie. I know you're in character, aren't you?" "No. I've never been on TV. Well, I've been on TV, but not as an actor."
You might have seen me nicking someone on the bill.
I've been on the TV a few times doing things that, and I've been, what was I once? A specialist firearms officer with a gun. I don't understand how they did that. Firearms are all pointing guns, and I put the cuffs on.
They punished you by making you sit near the targets.
And I was the one that called them in as the OP. So when they got him and pointed the guns at him, it was my job, so they didn't want to get involved.
Joe's called us the Fab Four. He clearly isn't paying attention.
It's me.
Nope.
Good God. Next to him, it's Jeffrey. How are you getting on with your lunar lander?
I am getting along, and it's great to be hanging out with you.
And you, mate. Bold weather report.
We started off the week really cold and snowy, and then it just stayed cold. But today, check it out. We are already up to 45 Fahrenheit on our way to 59, and it is sunny.
Oh, man. It's tried to snow here. Tried really hard. We've had big rain flakes that came down a bit slower. I know I wasn't included. I was talking about these four idiots. Jesus Christ, Joe. and it was trying to snow, but it hasn't. So there we go. That was a really great story, wasn't it? It was trying to snow, but it hasn't.
I was riveted.
Thanks, man.
It's sleeted.
Next to him, with furniture, holy shit, Patrice.
Yeah, my staff from the US finally made it after, I think, 5 months.
I can say, I can't believe you've waited 5 months for all of this stuff to come, and now it's just clutter.
Yeah, well, I mean, what you're seeing behind me, actually, on this side, is like all the tech stuff still that I have to like install and whatever. Everything else, like, I mean, there wasn't too much. It's a bunch of boxes, like basically half of a kitchen and boxes of books and stuff like that I haven't even unpacked because I don't have anywhere to put them.
So you still haven't got any like shelving or anything like that?
Nope. No. We basically decided like I'm going to wait until my family comes here because they want to participate in like picking out stuff and whatever. And I'm like, I don't care.
Yeah, no. I agree with that. Are you looking like you're staying in that apartment for a while then?
Yeah, definitely. Okay. And basically, and I moved everything into one room now because I like remember last month and a half, I was in the other room, which was very echoey. And I was like, I mean, this bedroom is more than big enough for everything. So I'll just move everything in here. So less echo.
Good man. If you wonder what that thumping is, it's bloody Muller typing again.
It's not me.
And talking of noisy environments, Callum, how the devil are you, mate?
I'm not too bad. I'm all right, yeah. Hopefully no sound glitches today, fingers crossed.
Yeah, no, so we're going to get, we've got a plan, haven't we, as well, to soundproof your office so we can do it in the main office and get Joe on camera and stuff in there. He's wimped out next week as well.
Yeah. I think it's no surprise, really, is it?
But... big special announcement. The iMen Max boys are going to be in the studio next Friday. They're coming over for all the shows, so they're going to be here for the big show, the Max show, everything, and sitting on the other side of the desk throwing abuse at Muller. And alcohol may be drunk.
Oh,
May.
Only May.
I'm hoping it's not too messy. but it will be.
You would just put all the alcohol in those sippy cups that little kids use, so that if they tip over, nothing spills.
Oh no, yeah, that's true. I'm not shy of making out a drink there. That's not a problem. So.
Maybe we should get lids for
Iron Mac mugs. Oh, you bring the Iron Mac mugs. That's it, and we can. Oh, you need to bring those over so we can have our drinks in them and promote the service. There we go.
Yeah,
need that anyway. Right. On with the Mac news. The story of the week has to be. So I paid 400 quid for these wheels, and there's no lock on them. So my Mac rolls away.
there was a hilarious tweet from the Johnny Ive parody, I think, Twitter account.
Right.
Basically, they're selling a door. What's this thing called? Like the little
triangle chocks. Thing.
Like a wedge. Yeah.
No, like a wedge. Yeah. Like they're selling. Apple's gonna sell wedges like $999 a piece.
The eye wedge.
But they'll be great because they'll have chamfered edges.
Exactly. They were the best wedges ever.
They've revolutionized the wedge market.
You could make them out of bread and there'd be a sand wedge.
Oh, give over. Well, you'd have to make them out of sand, wouldn't you? May, Callum didn't sign up to that. What on earth is that about? I don't understand that.
I think it's to do with drinking.
Oh, right, May. Yeah, Callum says he's definitely drinking then, right? That's okay. There's a picture of a guy with his Mac, and he lets go of it, and it rolls across the floor, just creeps, and it's just, mate, yep. You're having a laugh.
Only Apple can design, like, wheels without a stop.
Oh, this is the video. This is the video. I've got it. It's there, right. There we go. Just. Oh, yes, I agree to the terms of service. Pro tip, don't get the wheels if you keep it on your desk. They're bigger wheels than I thought they'd be. I thought they'd be a lot more subtle than that. They look all terrain.
Mm. Can you get a tank, tank tracks?
some runways for them.
Someone is going to install that.
Other great story of the week is director Rian Johnson says, Apple doesn't let bad guys use iPhones in films. So Apple product placement is fine. Yeah, you can have phones, no problem at all. Yeah, you can have them in your film. We'd pay you for that. That's lovely. Thanks very much. However, you can't give them to the bad guys. Mm. I think they're missing a trick. Because if you've got a good Bond villain and he's got really high-end tech, you know, it's like you could show how good an iPhone is at security.
I bet if Apple if the James Bond franchise approached Apple and asked about that, I'm pretty sure Apple would say yes. I think it's a case by case thing. Like if I think what Apple is trying to do is like they're at least in their thinking, their perfect world, bad guys shouldn't use iPhones because that would taint the iPhone brand. But I think if it was a James Bond villain and it was like really good, I think they would say yes.
Did you guys, so you might not have seen this because you were in the States at the time, but did you guys see the advert with Ben Kingsley for the Jags? And it was like, have you noticed that they always cast British people as the bad guys in films? And there was Mark Strong in it as well. And and they said, but at least we always get a Jag. And they really put a good spin on it, and it was a really good advert for Jag, really witty, really funny, really good poking the fun. And it's just like there's a certain element with the sugary Brady Bunch style of Apple. They are not extolling that they could do the dirty side of it, and they would actually improve the brand, I think, rather than worrying about setting it up and it causing a problem with, oh no, you can't say negative because it's Apple and oh, shut up.
Now, doesn't this apply only to productions that approach Apple for official product placement? Like if we decided to start our own production company and we make a movie and we cast someone as the bad guy and give them an iPhone, and we never talk to Apple about this at all. There's nothing Apple can do.
Oh, that's an interesting one. I don't know if...
Yeah, I think you're right on that one. As long as you don't mention them, like brand names or anything like that, I think you might be safe.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just someone is using an iPhone. They happen to be the bad guy.
Yeah.
And there you go.
Just contact another manufacturer. Do you want to pay to have your phone in our film? Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that's usually what happens.
I wonder if they take issue with having the Apple logo in, because I know that a few other kind of repair shops have tried to use the Apple logo itself in their branding, and Apple don't like that at all. So I wonder if it might have something to do with that thing.
Well, you can only use the thing if you're in the authorized repair program, aren't you? So
yeah, but I mean, that's different. Like in a movie, when they're portraying something and like just in passing, there's an Apple product. I mean, I think that falls under like creative, like arts and stuff. I think that would be fine.
Yes. Yeah. And if you look at TV shows, at least ones that are made in the United States, where it's obvious it's an Apple computer, you know, laptop, whatever, sitting on someone's desk, and there's a piece of tape or something over the Apple logo, that doesn't mean that the production was prohibited from showing the Apple logo. What it means is that Apple chose not to pay them for product placement when they approached the company. So they just put tape over the logo and it's like, well, screw you. We're using the intern's computer anyhow because we've already got it.
Yeah. And like in, I'm guessing it's the same for BBC. I definitely know here in both in Austria and in Germany, when the public TV, like TV channels, when they do anything like that, when there might be a product logo, slogan, whatever, they have to tape over it because they like they're not allowed to endorse anything like that. So I think that's also an interesting thing.
Magic Man's typed in the chat room, Ford did that years ago. They wouldn't allow baddies to drive Fords in the 70s. And it was, I was just thinking to myself, yeah, but that's because they had British Leyland. So if you wanted to stick British Leyland, stick a shit, that's a shit car. So they all had those, didn't they? Yeah, but he used a Mark III in the first series of the Sweeney. He had the Ford Escort Mexico, didn't he?
Granada.
There was a Granada as well, which was the one that what's his face was sat in the back with. But the I thought one of them had a Ford Escort Mexico, a white one. I loved that car. Ford Escort Mexico was gorgeous. I had the Scale Electrics one of it, and I had the what's it one. Doc's not coming, is he? He's moving shop today.
Nope. Yeah, could have told us that before, right?
Yeah, right. Okay. We don't need to know. It's information on Doc's life's on a need-to-know basis.
Maybe he's a double agent.
Andrew Parker, head of MI5, has said that MI5 needs exceptional access to encrypted messages. Mac Rumors has said the Director General of British Secret Services is arguing for exceptional access to encrypted messages in the ongoing battle between authorities and technology companies. I don't rate this story at all, and I'm only going to ever listen to anyone from the head of GCHQ. And even then, I'd probably want someone who's more technical, a CTO, because this is one of the bodies of the we want to catch everyone in the easiest possible manner with a restricted budget. So he's going to say we want unfettered access to encrypted messages. Yeah. He's not going to say anything else.
They want something at that point, they're not the crypto AG thing that the CIA and the BND had, right?
But this is the thing. So there's a lot of people have come out and said that, you know, people in security have said, you can't do this. You know, encryption is encrypted. You know, one person with a backdoor and that's it. Nothing's encrypted. Yep. And those are the ones that I tend to listen to. And you're talking about people who are in ex-NSA directors or ex-NSA staff or people who've got proper knowledge of how the covert systems work, and they're saying no. So my point would be, well, this guy shouldn't be making a commentary on it.
Mm-hmm.
because it's ridiculous, because this is a sort of, if GCHQ come out and say, yes, absolutely, we should have unencrypted message access, then I might start to think a bit more about it, but not this bloke.
Actually, no, they haven't.
No, this is a political play, very, very clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, and realistically, the people that they would be hoping to catch doing whatever are not the people they're going to catch, because those are the people that will just use another application that's outside of the official system, and it will have encryption, and there you go.
Yeah, I don't think that the like I said, the thing with the San Bernardino guy, that was all about that he was just sending plain text messages, wasn't he? There was nothing encrypted about it.
Right.
In
a large number of cases, the messages that are being sent are unencrypted SMS.
Yeah, carrier pigeon.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, the real bad guys, they're not using any of those systems. They are actually, like, oftentimes just using, paper pigeons, like the old and proven.
Well, yeah, but you know that the GRU and all those, all the Russians and the Chinese are all using encrypted services, but they'd still be using that anyway, so.
Yeah, but they have their own encryption system, so that wouldn't help.
No, exactly.
Right.
Bullshit.
Yep.
I'm calling bullshit. Lady Gaga has shot her video on an iPhone. There we go. Here's the video. I'm probably going to get pulled off YouTube, aren't I? It's in the background. I've turned it down a bit. If you want to go and watch it, it's on Mac Rumors and it's on YouTube on Vivo as well. But it looks good. But there's $100,000 worth of lighting, probably.
At least.
It's been shot in a desert, and she's definitely lit, unless that's a green screen, which I don't think it is.
If it's not a green screen and they're not actually in the desert, they could be doing the same thing that The Mandalorian did, where they have those massive high-resolution walls where they're just showing whatever it is that you want to have. And the resolution is so good that it looks like you're actually there.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, that looks like a green screen. Like, the background definitely is not like any desert, I would know.
I don't know. That's not... I'm pretty good at this kind of stuff because I do tend to do it for a living, but...
Well... If they're not on a green screen,
that looks green screen.
There's some sort of enhancement happening because, like the giant crystally glowing rocks.
Yeah, but they could have been drawing it. See, that one doesn't look. That looks studio.
Mm-hmm.
That looks a little bit green screeny. That one definitely does. That one doesn't so much. But they could put those hills in the background afterwards on the final footage anyway. That shot there, that shot where they're walking forwards, that doesn't look like it's green screen. It looks like it's been shot in real time, but it's very good. The song's shit. The song is utter rubbish. And I quite like, I mean, she's a fantastic singer. She's brilliantly talented, but this is a very forgettable song.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But she's done it right because here we are talking about her song.
Good point. It's a very capable camera. We were talking about cheeky people doing stuff on. I quite happily shoot images with my phone instead of my DSLR when I'm out on site, because it's just sometimes it's like I just want a quick shot. This will do. I got a message from someone saying, "Oh, while you're out on site, could you take a picture of a few of the supervisors with using their iPads?" Yeah, cool, no problem. Just like, I'll get those and I can take them with the camera, bang, or the iPhone on itself. And the XS Max, very good. Bit of tweaking in post, bit of vignetting and that kind of stuff to improve it. And it's awesome. I've started messing around with the sliders an awful lot more in the iPhone now, really making it work. And the little vignette feature is absolutely amazing. Really good. It's a very capable
phone.
Wait
until you get the 11 Pro.
Well, yeah, no, I'm not going to. So I'm on my 2 years. I'm not in a contract, so I can upgrade whenever I want. But I've kind of like always stuck to the every other year kind of thing. So
yeah, well, then you're going to get the 12 this year or whatever it's called.
Yeah, this may be the year that I replace my 10.
Yeah, but I had this with the 7, and I'm still not missing the 7. The 7 still takes great images.
Yeah, the 7 is a great phone.
Yeah,
it is.
Mm-hmm. No? And my 10 is still a great phone. I just got the battery replaced, and that took away all of my my desire to upgrade the phone now.
My Siri's still not working. Can't get it going, no matter what. Don't know. Head up a bit. I might do a complete like brand new phone.
Mm-hmm.
And not even.
I mean, I've still only got a 10. I'm very happy with that. I haven't even changed the battery. I've had it 18 months. Gone.
Now, don't say you only have a 10.
Well,
own that. Be proud of it because it's an awesome phone.
Just, it is.
I love my 10.
I do. Does everything I need it to. Probably a bit more. Really, really happy with it.
I've got I've got a 10S Max, but I've got an extra case that's got like slidey lenses on it, so I can do like a double zoom and super wide angle macro and that kind of thing with it, and it's brilliant. I love having that on there, and I think that's an essential when you and I wouldn't be surprised to find out that video with Gaga has actually got a few little extra lenses on or something like that or something, but it's very well shot. It looks great. There's nothing wrong with it production wise. Yeah, but you need light. So don't go out and think you're going to shoot everything. There's people at the moment, they've still got 11, 10, you know, they've got 11s and they've got 10s. And I'm seeing stuff on social media that they shot for their businesses and it still looks awful. It just looks crap. And I spoke to a guy yesterday and I was like, the stuff you're doing is actually quite pleasant, but the problem you've got is it's just, you need to light it better. You need to get your audio sorted. You know, that's the thing. And I was talking to a customer and they were saying, oh, we want to do some little YouTube videos. And I was talking to this guy and he was saying, you know, you can get away with the jump cuts and that kind of stuff on YouTube. And I went, yeah, but you're not going to get away with crap audio. That'll kill your video. If you've got good audio, you can get away with absolutely awful video work.
Yeah, YouTube. That's true. But I mean, that also shows you, like, a really good device does not replace someone knowing what they're doing. Like, if what you do is crap, then the best device will not help you at all.
Yeah, no. Yeah, content's king as well. Don't forget that you've got our stuff that's actually watchable, something that's going to get people going.
Guess who put the sign up this way?
Oh, has it come off?
Guess who actually put the sign up this way?
You.
No, Joe.
Oh, well, Joe. I don't want him here next week then.
Just gone.
That crap. Jesus, Joe. What does Joe actually do?
He puts
up the sign.
Because every time I've been there, he's sat at a desk and you're fixing phones and laptops and stuff. And he's...
We'll have to try and get him to come round. So you can ask him. Maybe that's why
he's not coming next week, because we'll end up putting him on the spot and saying, so what do you do? And then Mo will realise.
Well, he's the one who's breaking all those phones, right?
Yeah.
Oh, right.
That's a perfectly balanced conveyor belt. That's how it works.
That's what he sits and goes, yeah, I'm quality control. Yeah.
The circle of life.
Oh, I thought, is he coming? He's going to shout at me. No, he's coming to put the sign back up. Now he's missed me slagging him off because he's come to put... He's going to have to watch the show back because he's missed me slagging him off. Oh, no. Oh, I'll get that bit because he's delayed it. Can't rewind.
He's put it in the wrong place as well.
Tough shit, Joe. Shit, yeah, it's in frame. It's perfect, isn't it?
Yeah.
Hang on. No, it's even on the full shot, it's just slightly out, mate.
Yep.
No, don't do that because we can see the shells now. You're the important one, Callum. You're the important one. Don't worry about that. Now, this is quite an interesting story because I know we've had the mouse support, but Apple is going to release an iPad Pro smart keyboard with trackpad in 2020.
I'll believe it when I see it. Here's why I'm skeptical. Okay. And it's because right now all of the people like Steve Trotton Smith that that are the pros at digging through the iOS code and finding all the little magic gems and nuggets. They're not finding anything that would support that in the code. The only thing that's there is what's already there, which is the assisted services feature. Yeah. So if Apple is really planning on doing the trackpad on a smart keyboard, then they're just straight up holding back code. And right. And at this point, that doesn't seem like a likely move, considering the progression of operating system development. So that said, I would love to see trackpad support, and I would love to see it built into a smart keyboard. That would eliminate the I can't replace my laptop with an iPad for my travel stuff for a lot of people, because you just have the best of both worlds right there.
Yeah, I'm honestly, I've tried it. I'm not sold on the whole trackpad or mouse thing on an iPad. I think it is a niche thing. It is useful for accessibility, which is why it is in accessibility, but it's such a niche thing that I don't think Apple is going to put that in like as a mainstream, add-on. Mm. I don't think so. Like, I mean, I'm okay if Apple surprises me and they actually do it, but I don't think so. I think this is going to be a third party. Like, I mean, there are actually already third parties doing this. So I don't see Apple doing it anytime soon. It just goes against everything that the iPad is.
Mm, yeah, you saying that as well. I just think it hits a bit too close to home with kind of their other products. So, you know, if you have that, I think it would potentially affect their MacBook sales. And I think. Having looked at their products historically, they do a lot of separation. So I can't see it myself.
Here's a thought: what if the trackpad support is coming, but everyone's looking at it from the wrong angle, and this is part of the process of moving to an ARM-based Mac? And so, what Apple is actually doing is working on proper mouse and trackpad support outside of accessibility in the operating system for a Mac that's coming in a year or two that's ARM-based. So it would have more similarities underneath the hood to an iPad than what we're seeing today.
I could definitely see that. I mean, they're trying to streamline all their operating systems. I mean, technically, they were always kind of the same. I mean, iPhone OS started out as like a clone of Mac OS. Mm-hmm. So I can definitely see that. And I could also see how the rumor somehow ended up on the iPad side. That's like someone heard something about ARM and about trackpad support and someone's working on it. And they thought it's the iPad and in reality, it's the Mac. I could definitely see that.
Yeah, but I do see that the only thing I'll go on is that Apple has been on this thing about the iPad is a computer. You know, what's a computer? Because everyone is doing everything on iPad. And there is a lot of people doing a lot of creative stuff on iPads, and it's really, really good. So in terms of a rumor that makes sense, it does make sense to say, right, you've got this device. We'll give you a smart keyboard for it. The smart keyboard is only going to be available with the new version of it, the iPad version 7 or 8 or whatever it is. And then you've got like this, because people aren't, the Air is probably dying off as a form factor in terms of, you know, the physical size of the smaller ones. And people are going to iPads. So if the people are going to iPads and there's a rejuvenation in iPad sales, why not give them what they want to do better creative work? Because certainly things like video, it's horrible trying to do it on a touchscreen. It'd be far better with a touchpad.
I don't think so. I mean, that's the thing where I don't agree or where I don't see it. I don't see, even for like video editing or podcast editing or anything like that, a trackpad being any better than a pencil. Like it just for me, like if you look at the iPad, what it's supposed to be, like a touch-based computer, a trackpad for me does not really work with that. I mean, as I said, there are some edge cases where, like, accessibility-wise, where it might make sense, and that's why Apple added it. But I don't see it. Maybe that's a limitation in my, like, imagination. But I don't see, as I said, I don't see it even in the pro market as a like mainstream feature. Even for, like, if you only put it on the iPad Pro, even for the pro market, for the market that for the people that buy the iPad Pro, I don't see it.
Okay.
For me, it comes down to, did you design the interface correctly for the platform? So if you took a video editing or audio editing app for the Mac and recompiled it for the iPad, I would feel the need for a trackpad or mouse. Mm-hmm. But if you design for the iPad correctly, at that point, to me, a mouse or a trackpad would feel like an extra tool that's kind of getting in the way. And instead, I'd rather have something where I can use my fingers or my Apple Pencil and then avoid having to add in the extra hardware.
Yeah, exactly.
No, there's something in that that resonates as an idea that it does make sense. And Joe's posted a thing here about 9to5 Mac have got a bridge thing, which is an iPad Pro keyboard with trackpad.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, and what I could see is that Apple makes it easier for third parties to do that, like to provide a solution like that. I'm just saying Apple themselves providing it, I don't see it.
You know, now that you're saying that, it totally makes sense, because that would give Apple the best of both worlds. They'd be able to still have the message they want to have, which is this is a touch-based device. Mm-hmm. And then they would also be creating what Apple likes to call a third-party opportunity. Mm-hmm. And then companies like Bridge can release their keyboards that have a trackpad built in. They have better integration and...
Everybody's
you go.
Happy.
I like that idea.
Yeah, I'm just calling a picture up. If you're watching the video, you can have a look at the Bridge one. And it's nice.
Bridge does make nice products for the iPad.
Oh, they do, yeah. Mm-hmm. They sent us a review unit for an iPad 2 keyboard, and it was brilliant. It was really, really good. I enjoyed it. I've still got it. It still works. But it's nice, it's cool. The thing is, Apple's always used to have an ideology of we'll give you a thing that you can do and we'll give you four different ways of doing it. So you create your workflow around the way that you want to work. And they always had that as an ethos, and it's got lost a little bit since Jobs has died. That they're not, you know, they don't give you that multiverse of opportunity for how to complete the same task. And it's a sad thing. And I just thought maybe with that, it sounded like, you know, okay, you want a mouse, use a mouse. You want a trackpad, we've got a trackpad. You want to, you know, here's a multiple of ways that you can interface with your iPad. Because that's what people want. They want variety. They want workflows that work for them.
I'm not even sure I would agree with that. I
don't care whether you agree with it, because it's what I think.
No, I mean, maybe I'm misunderstanding, but like my view on it was always like that Apple tried like to have less options, so have one way of doing it, and that's the way.
No, if you look at the creative software, particularly the iWorks 8, when that came out, that was all about multiple ways of achieving the same end goal.
That was a really good release.
Really good about dropping that's in true. Content, you know, the way that you got the content in the drag and drop, or you could open the file and drop it in. There was lots of ways of including it.
That's true.
Definitely. See, I love being right. Oh, man. Facebook has cancelled F8. It's done. It's not happening. May. So they're obviously doing it a fair way out so that people don't book tickets and airlines and hotels and that kind of stuff. But and I know, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that next week FIBO, which is like the fitness show in Germany, that's not happening either. I'm pretty sure that's going to be cancelled.
Probably not.
So WWDC, there's the question. June.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Tim's been on this week saying, I think China are getting a handle on coronavirus, which I don't believe for a second.
I can definitely tell you that Apple, or I'm guessing Apple is waiting, because usually by this time, we already have the announcement of like the date and the, like the lottery thing and so on. Like I remember last year was somewhere like mid-February, I think. I'm guessing Apple is simply waiting and seeing.
They could do the lottery, but say, look, don't buy any plane tickets or hotels yet.
Well, they could, but like usually that goes hand in hand. Like people book people book hotels and stuff the second it's available, because like they go so fast. All the
hotels. No, but what I'm saying is they could
people
say
people book their hotels ahead of the announcement, you can get a pretty good idea of when it's going to happen, so you get a lower hotel rate.
But what I'm saying is that Apple could still say, right, send in your application for the lottery, and they don't have to draw the lottery.
That is true, yeah. They didn't have to draw or, like, charge people.
Yeah, we're announcing the lottery. Send your stuff in for the lottery. We're not going to draw it until we're certain that the thing's going to go ahead, but at least we can have all your stuff so we're good to go if we do make a decision.
Here's another idea. Send in your lottery, and we'll decide if we're going to do the lottery. And if we don't, then we will live stream all of our sessions.
Well, they already do that.
Right. Actually. But then do it just as a live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No on-location event.
Yeah.
Yeah, they could definitely do that. Yeah. But as I said, like, I'm guessing Apple is simply waiting and seeing, like, what's happening. But within the next month, probably, they will have to make a decision. Simply also because... like that's when the preparation starts. Well, that's when the preparation, like the hot phase, starts for the event.
Yeah. A question from Joe asking about whether the COVID thing is going to affect the bash this summer. yes, it will. When you get to the bash, you've got 2 weeks of quarantine with us. So
perfect.
2 weeks of drinking. There you go.
Yep. Yeah, I can live with
but
that.
Someone's telling me that
sounds wonderful.
No, someone's telling me that Milan's like a desert. It's because there's been a few reported cases in Milan, and there's a school by us that's had the school's been closed because the six kids have come back from a skiing trip to Italy with one of the teachers with flu-like symptoms. So they've closed it as a precaution. Milan is just it looks like a dystopian. A Day of the Triffids, everyone's died and vaporized, apart from Will Smith.
Japan just closed all schools, like the entire country.
Wow.
Mid-April, I was reading something like that.
Greta Thunberg's in Bristol today. She's trying to close the schools, isn't she, with her a strike march.
That's a different story.
Kids just want to find a way not to go to frigging school, mate. The last thing you need to do is give them an excuse.
Yep.
This is a big one. This is probably going to take the rest of the show. Leaked documents suggest that Apple is going to be forced to use removable batteries in the European market or by the EU. That's quite an interesting one, isn't it?
Well, it wouldn't just be Apple. It would be everyone, right?
Yeah, it'd be everyone. But user serviceable batteries, mate, will be making a comeback. I'm particularly looking at you here, Callum, because this is most definitely up your street.
I think it's a really good thing, and I think it chimes in quite nicely as well in America with the right to repair bill that's, I think, currently being discussed in one of the states somewhere. I think it's something that people in my industry have been pushing for a long time because, you know, just looking at the picture that they've given there, you know, the way I get most batteries out is I have to take it, put it on a hot plate and get the battery out. And I think, you know, when you buy a TV remote or get a TV and it comes with a remote, you're able to change the batteries. Why can't you do it on a phone? You know, a battery is a kind of, you know, product which will fail over time, and it will degrade naturally no matter what you do. So.
But it's interesting that that's your because that's a revenue stream for you, and you're advocating removing that revenue stream.
You know, like it isn't. I'll be honest, it isn't a massive part of our kind of revenue stream. But you know, it's. I just think it's It's a kind of morally right thing to do because you have a product and a battery in that product is a part that will fail. So why shouldn't the user who owns the phone have the ability to change it easily? I think it's really important that it is moving in that direction. I think it's a good thing. Definitely.
You know, from my perspective as a consumer, I'm thinking back on every cell phone I've ever had. And up until the iPhone, every one of them had user replaceable batteries. Mm-hmm. And at no point did I ever get a second battery for any phone.
Oh, I did.
And now granted, I know I am just my own case, but I'm, I am wondering for how many people would this actually make a difference? And I'm guessing the number of people that would be happy for this simply because they would have the option to swap out batteries would be much higher than the people that would actually be taking advantage of the feature.
Yeah, I'm kind of on the fence on this one. Like I can understand like Jeff says, I can definitely understand that some people might just simply like the option, whether it's for nostalgia or just because they like to have it, even if they never do it. I can also understand the manufacturers who are like saying, well, I mean, we're producing like increasingly smaller and more sturdier and like more everything proof devices. And like, if we do this, then like we will have like the phone will have to get, I mean, look at your iPhone, the phone, I bet the phone has to be bulkier because there is no way that you can put in a user replaceable battery in a phone this thin.
Like, yeah, because you've got to have fixed contacts that it butts to. You can't have a ribbon that then folds out.
Exactly, and it has to be in a form factor and a size that also users can actually do it. Like if it was all very fiddly and whatever, then like what's the point? So it has to be a certain size so you can grab it, get it out, get the new one in. I'm with Jeff on, I've never, like all the cell phones I've had, I've never once changed them. All I've had was issues with like the back side falling off and the battery popping out, all of that. Usually because they were crappy, like Nokia plastic phones. But I'm on the fence. I can understand why some people want it. I think for 99% of everyone, it probably doesn't matter because if their battery goes, they just go somewhere to like Callum, for example, and get it replaced.
Yeah.
I think the way it may sort of end up going, you know, because obviously just again looking at that picture there, I think it may even be a case where, you know, you take an iPhone, you know, you take Ewan's iPhone, it's XS Max. A normal person can change the battery on that. You can go and buy a screwdriver. You know, you need two screwdrivers and, you know, you need to be able to take out the pull tabs. Maybe it will even just be a case where Apple have a page on their website saying this is how you take your iPhone battery out, and they sell them on their website, and that could be enough to satisfy with that. So
yeah, like they used to do for like older Macs. I mean, some Macs had the little door thing, but I also remember some instruction manuals where it's like, okay, unscrew these four screws, and then you can pop it out.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you go and buy an iMac now from the Apple Store, still got the door on the back to change your own RAM.
True.
I think the legislators here are also not thinking about the technology, because if you're going back to the periods when I had second batteries and I carried them around with me, you're talking about battery chemistry, which was metal hydride, nickel cadmium, that kind of stuff. And that was a lot more inert as a chemistry than lithium polymer is. And if you look at lithium polymer batteries and you then are taking them out, and you're trying to keep your iPhone thin, so they're not coming in a protected plastic case, they're just coming in a wrapped piece of foil, you take that and you drop it while you're changing it, it's going to go off. You run the risk of, and if you've got power attached to it when it comes off, it will go. It will. I mean, go on YouTube and type in lithium polymer shot, and while they're on charge, someone shoots them with an air rifle, and they go. They are unremitting.
They're bombs.
Yeah. So, you're not, the legislators here aren't thinking about the tech. They're not thinking about, they just want to go back to when they could do it. But yep. But they're not thinking about the fact that you've got safety issues with this stuff. You can't have a lithium polymer battery that just comes out and then you can bend it, because if you bend it and you snap the case in, that's it, it's off.
Yeah, of course. I mean,
there are options for that. I mean, you can buy the lithium polymer batteries, but they usually come in like a pretty big protective plastic case. Mm. So even if you drop them, nothing happens. I mean, basically every, like your drone probably has one. I mean, that's why I said, like, we can't have both, like, a really thin, lightweight phone and have, like, user-replaceable batteries, especially given how big the batteries are nowadays.
Yeah. No. So for an iPhone battery, we would be talking about, what, doubling the thickness of the battery to add a protective shell on it?
I don't think you can just change probably the battery over, but
probably 2 to 3. I mean, given how thin they are, 2-3 times as much.
I think when I kind of think back to kind of phones that I've had previously, so like the last phone that I had that wasn't an Apple product did come with a removable battery, and that wasn't too much thicker than the kind of batteries that I service now. So you're not talking two and three times bigger. You're sort of talking, perhaps, 20-30% thicker, but and also the technology's moved as well, but
Joe's pointing out that it won't affect IMN Mix because they're not in the EU.
Well, it's either the UK is just going to adopt it, or like the manufacturers are just going to ship the same phone everywhere.
we are still in the EU. It'll never change. We'll end up having to do loads of stuff to make sure we can maintain transparency, and we still want borders. I've got a load of people this week who are friends and acquaintances through work who are European, and they've all got through letters from government saying, you're totally, you're welcome to stay. It's not a problem. We know you pay your taxes. You're getting free NHS treatment. Nothing's changing. Away you go. Mm. So all the racists that wanted, all the Europeans out of Britain, tough shit.
Yeah, and I don't know who said that. Somewhere in the chat. Oh yeah, Martin just said that like most people go to like their car garage to even replace car batteries, and those are usually rather easy to replace in most cases, at least.
Yeah, no. He's making a point as well here that's a really good one, actually, about a replaceable battery. How is it going to affect the waterproofing of the phone? And it doesn't. That's it. It's done. There is no waterproofing at that point, yeah.
Well, you could, but then, like, you're making it even thicker. You basically have to enclose the, like, the inner part of the phone and then have the battery outside. It's doable, but it's, like, it makes it even bulkier.
But again, it's another layer. It's another bulkhead, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah.
And I think the other thing as well, you're thinking about, if you're talking about laptop batteries particularly, you look at the current spec in the laptop, and you're talking about 8 cells that are layered and tiered and fitted around other things. There isn't a battery to change anymore in an Apple laptop.
Changing MacBook batteries is very, very dangerous. I mean, it took me a year of fixing an awful lot of Apple products before I was allowed to try to change one. They are very, very dangerous to do, very dangerous indeed. Because unlike an iPhone, they don't even have pull tabs. You just have to get normally a piece of metal, which is always great, underneath the battery and start trying to pry it out.
In which case, then you pierce the shell and
start a fire. Yeah.
And your coronavirus is the least of your worries.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Never mind if it's got the delivery bloke shit on it. I don't know. So were we talking about that when the podcast started? Because I've just made a joke that referenced going back to the start, but I don't know if we were talking about it when the...
I think we might have been.
Right.
We were talking about coronavirus.
Feces makes the world go round.
Well, it don't go to...
I don't think we had started the podcast, so that's...
Podcast title right there.
Well, you certainly got to watch that when you go to those self-ordering screens, don't you, at fast food restaurants. I won't mention a particular one. But there's been one or two tests by Watchdog who wiped them down and found traces of it.
Yep. One thing, I mean, because we were talking about
that's like
waterproofing and all of that, I think one thing that might be worth considering is making it easier for like people like Callum to replace them. Like, even if we're not talking about user replaceable batteries, but making it easier to replace them, I think would be something that should be pursued.
Shouldn't glue them in. That's wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't necessarily think it is, because I think again, and it goes back to the way the phones are built. If you're going to try and build it to be as thin as possible, you probably will want to glue it in. But again, the way that it's glued in, so again, going back to the picture, you've got those pull tabs there. I can guarantee to you now, if every one of you were trying to do that battery and take those pull tabs out, if you pulled either of those any further, they'd just snap and then just come off straight away. So I think the adhesive can be better. I think it can be stronger. I think it can be easier to remove. But, you know, it's just, you know, if you try and pull that any further, those two tabs are snapping, and you're going to have to go for the pro tool underneath or tweezers.
Use Velcro.
Or heat the battery up. So.
You know, I'm looking at this whole process, and sorry, and the $70 it cost me to have a new battery in my iPhone by going to the Apple store, that was $70 well spent. I am glad that I am not having to go inside my phone.
Bob's not convinced by any of these arguments, but he doesn't say which way he's got to be convinced. Tell us which way you're swaying, Bob, and then we'll understand the context of that.
He swings both ways.
He does swing both ways. No, stop that. He's a venerated and loved member of the audience, mate. Those tests where it swabs and it's like, oh, we found shit on the screen. I guarantee you swab my screens here. I never touch them. They're full of dust. I guarantee you'll find shit on them. That's the whole... feces makes the world go round. There is literally shit everywhere.
Yep.
Podcast total.
Definitely.
Didn't, like, someone run tests on, like, people's iPhones, like, years ago and, like, discovered basically all kinds of shit on them?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The thing is that it's like I know my phone's covered in my shit. But the problem is, if I find out that I swab it and it's covered in Callum shit when he fixed the screen for me, then I'm going to be upset.
Well, I know there's a bit of my blood in there, so...
Obviously, you didn't tell me that. That was full disclosure, dude, on the repair.
I did tell you.
We could clone him, Ewan. We can have our own Iron Man Max guy at the studio.
Double Callum. Yeah, then you can get rid of Joe and have the three that'll work.
The sign will never fall down again.
What does I'm gonna send tape I sent?
I'm gonna send. I'm gonna send a text to Mo after when you're doing the cool thing, saying, "What does Joe?" Because he's shit at putting up signs.
Now Joe informed me that it would have been cheaper for me to ship my phone to the UK and get the battery fixed by Iron Max.
Really? Would
so,
it?
So really? Now I know for next time.
There you go. So a new market has emerged for the Americas to send all of their crap over for Iron Max to fix it. In fact, you could get
it really helps with the shipping, but we do a 1-hour service.
Jeffrey, you're on so many podcasts. You could get a container together, and then it would be real cheap.
You could just send Joe to America to do it.
Oh, that's an idea.
I wouldn't do that.
Yeah, but if you sent Joe, nothing would get fixed.
No, but Callum is going to sit in the shop for like 5 weeks to fix all those phones.
Oh, yeah. Mate.
That's just job security right there.
Yeah, that's true.
Magic Man wants a survey of how much cocaine there is on £5 notes.
Mm-hmm.
Not on the new ones, because they don't stay rolled up. I haven't tried. That's not what I'm saying.
How much do you charge for a new phone battery anyway? Charge, get it.
Oh, yes, Callum. Do an advert for us. Tell us how much a phone charge.
We charge exactly the same as Apple, but we do it in an hour. So.
You do it in an hour?
Nice.
Yeah, and you get a free cup of coffee with it and a good conversation. That's what Joe does. He makes the coffee and has the conversation with the people that are waiting while you're working.
No, we've got a cafe upstairs.
Oh, he doesn't even do that?
Does he walk up and fetch it?
Even outsourced that part.
Now there's a lift. Yeah, he goes.
I'm so happy he's not coming next week.
got a replicator.
So if you missed it at the start of the podcast, yes, Iron Max will be in here. Mo and Callum will be in the studio with us doing all the shows next week. It'll be a ripper. If you'd like to come down and join us in the studio, Crikey Trousers has always suggested he might, but he's got the rugby on Saturday, so he's not going to come, I don't think. But if you want to come down here and join in, I'm particularly looking at AZ because he's around the corner from where I live, so he can get down here dead easy. There will be alcohol. There will be alcohol. I'm hoping it's not going to be one of those shows where we can't actually post it. But,
or we have to split it into two.
but we'll never know. We'll see. This podcast and all the others is manfully supported, beautifully supported by TSO Hosts. They are superb. Go to tsohosts.com and you can see all the shiz that they do. Web hosting, domain names, WordPress stuff, servers. They've got tons of things. If you need something for the web, a website, an online shop, anything like that, then they've got e-commerce. They can do everything for you. They're brilliant. And you get 20% off all your hosting solutions. So put in the offer code BTN20 and you get 20% off, which is fantastic. But that's not what they want from you necessarily. If you want to do it, then great. But they want you to get on the socials and give them recognition. Brand recognition on the socials is the key part of it. And if you follow this network and if you listen to this show, please, please, please get out on the socials. And give them thanks at TSO Host for supporting at British Tech. This wouldn't happen without them. They give us bandwidth. They give us space. They get us absolutely loads of stuff. And I was meant to show a graphic there, so I've probably been picking my nose while doing the advert, not showing the graphic. The other people, I'm N Max. Callum comes on every week and he gives us his opinion, however wrong it is. They do simply what it says, they mend Macs. So if you've got anything with an Apple logo on it that is suffering in any kind of way, and it doesn't have to be broken, it could just be struggling, send it along to them and they will have a look at it, tell you what's wrong with it, do some diagnostics, make a suggestion. So it could be a new SSD that they can fit for you. It could be a bit of extra RAM, something like that. They could sort it out for you and they can make it fly. Refurbished machines is a big thing for them. They've got loads of stuff in stock. We're going to have the machine of the week in a moment. And it's good. And if you've got old data as well on your Mac and you can't get it off, they can do that for you as well. Data recovery. And it's superb. And again, get out on the social. Thanks to at IMNMac for supporting at British Tech. Because without them, again, it would all go away. Right, Callum, give us the machine of the week.
So this week we have machines of the week this week. So we have a selection of iPhone 8s in. So all fully refurbished grade A devices. Really, really nice. So they retail for about £500. Prices for ours start at £350 and go up as the spec goes up. So go onto our website, have a look. If any of you want anything, drop us a line and we can get it sorted for you.
We were talking at the start that the iPhone 7 still takes an excellent image. It's got the mm-hmm. it's got the same camera unit, hasn't it? So
it does, yeah.
It is absolutely it's a stand-up phone. It's perfect for a kid's phone, for a starter phone, something like that. Definitely. Not quite disposable at £350, but it's a lot. It bounces a lot better.
Absolutely, yeah.
Excellent, mate. Good stuff. Thank you for your support, and thanks for coming along. And we're so looking forward to next week. That's going to be absolutely amazing fun. You're all getting the train, right?
Yes, yeah. I've had a look at some train time, so we can all get home.
Perfect.
Relatively early.
It's time for the cool things. Muller, I've kind of thrown you in here. Do you want to go with the cool thing, or are you want to come back to you at the end?
I've got one.
Okay, that's cool.
I'll just copy the link.
Do you want to use the mic? No?
Oh, sorry. I went to sleep halfway through the show. So
You went to sleep?
Yeah, I thought I'd cut myself. It's a podcast.
Joe's typed in capitals, free diagnoses.
Yes, I was going to mention that. Yeah, there's no reason to bring it. There's no reason not to bring it to us whatsoever. It's free for us to have a look. So bring it to us. Definitely bring it to us.
There you go. Right. Sorry about that, Muller. Go ahead.
No worries. The Tech Box, it's a British a podcast, usually about phones mainly, but well worth a listen. More English, British centric than most of the rubbish you get from America. Sorry, all the good stuff we get from America. So well worth a listen. If you're you might recognise James Honeyball. I think he writes for some of the magazines that Alistair does. So,
Alistair is Alistair Dabbs for who's at the begins with an R, the Register. There we go.
Yeah. Well, Honeyball definitely writes for PC World.
Yeah, that's good. Nice one. A good pick and a freebie.
Freebie, yeah.
Like that. Jeff, what have you got for us?
I have an app that's brand new, like just a couple days old, and it's from Icon Factory, and it's called Tot, T-O-T. And what it is, it's an app that is just for throwing text in. And well, you can do more with it. Like you can make lists. You can put code and stuff in there, and it has a URL schema, so you can automate some things with it too. But it's like really simple. It's really stripped down feature wise, so it doesn't have a ton of text editor features that will get in your way. And for me, for the couple days that I've been playing with it, I've been finding that it addresses a big issue that I've had, which is I want to make a note quickly on one device and have it available on another device, but this is something that doesn't need to be in a task manager or some other program where I'm doing a lot of other content management. I just need something where I can make notes, I can have stuff that's just quickly available, and Tot seems to be doing that for me. So I started with it on the Mac, and it was a free download, and it uses iCloud for content syncing. So when I decided that I liked it enough that I would want to use this as a tool for getting content back and forth between my different devices, where currently what I've been doing is using Ulysses, which is kind of overkill for this sort of stuff. So then I bought it for iOS. So it's $20, $19.99 on iOS and free on the Mac. And totally worth the $20 for me already. And everything that I'm putting into Tot on any of my devices is instantly available on all the other devices. So it fixes a big problem I was having. It's simple and easy to use. It's not overloaded with features. And I like that it has a limited number of, I'll call them sheets, to put content in. So I can't turn this into something that's completely bloated with tons and tons of notes and not be able to find what I'm looking for. Mm. So anyhow, Tot, I'm really liking it.
And of course,
as a German, I have a little issue with the name because it means death or dead, actually.
TOT means dead.
Yeah, it's dead.
Oh,
I saw that. Well, I was like,
Tiny Tots.
Maybe they should have thought about that.
Weren't Tiny Tots a little sugary sweet in the 70s? Like Jelly Babies.
Tots,
like
Tiny Tots. Not, what was I thinking? Jelly Tots.
A bit like Jelly Tots, but they were tots, weren't they?
And Jeffrey, of course, from Text Expander, from Smile Software. That's your stuff as well, isn't it?
And, yes, it is.
And if you're a BTN listener, then you get 20% off Text Expander with BTN 2020.
Yep, that's the code you want to use when you sign up.
And you've got a free 20% personal coach in Jeffrey. He will come to your house one-on-one and will take you through it. He'll do it via a video link. You know, don't a webinar link. But you know,
no friends.
It's kind of bad.
But if you're local enough that we can actually get together, I will get together with you. Like I've met people at coffee shops and help them out.
If they pay for your ticket or whatever, right?
Yeah, the police.
If someone wants to buy my flight, well, game on.
Police is still looking for us for Jeffrey.
Yeah.
After several attacks at coffee shops.
Yes. Hey, and I do have a beginner webinar next week, so that will be March 5th.
Perfect. What time? What date? What time?
March 5th, that will be, hold on, let me double check and make sure I'm telling you the right date. Yes, Thursday, March 5th at 10 a.m. Pacific time.
Perfect. Excellent. Now then, if you would like to win a Spider Pro, we've got two of these to give away, thanks to Digital Glue and Data Color. This thing is a Spider 10 Pro. It is the best screen calibrator I've ever used, I have to say. I've got a review of it. If you go on the blog and the reviews, you'll see it. But if you'd like to win one of these, it's a dead simple process. All you've got to do is go to YouTube, search for British Tech Live or British Tech Network, find our YouTube page, and like and subscribe. That's it. That's all you got to do. Dead easy. So get on there, get your stuff done, get yourself liked and subscribed, and at the end of March, you'll go into a hat and we'll give away two of these. That's 300 quid's worth of Data Pro stuff, better color stuff. So well worth having. Patrice, what have you got for us?
I'm going to pick one of my absolute favorite apps. I remember that we talked about Fantastical 3 on the Mac show somewhere when it came out.
I think someone picked this the other week, didn't they? There's nothing wrong with picking it again, but
yeah, so that's been a couple of weeks. But I've now had a chance to use it actually for quite a while, and I love it. I mean, I paid for it. Like I used the free trial, and I actually paid for it because it is really good. Like the integrations, like the extra stuff you get on top of what I already had with Fantastical version 2, it's absolutely worth it for me. Like the integration with our video conferencing solution, the Office, Zoom, with like all like the deeper integration with all the calendars and like all the options that it gives you, it's just absolutely worth it. It's a subscription. Yeah, you have to pay for it, but the yearly subscription was something, I think I want to say it was 40 euros around about per year, which, given that I use that app really all day every day, is definitely nothing. Like that's not even worth mentioning. So highly recommended version 3 on all devices. You get like one subscription, you get everything. It's also like you can use it for free if you want to. Like the basic version I think is still free. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Fantastical 3.
Excellent, mate. Like that, good stuff. Callum, what have you got for us, mate?
So what I've got is a very neat little app. Again, it's free, called App Cleaner. Basically does exactly what it says on the tin. So if you have an application you need to uninstall, you can drag it into the app, and it will not only take the app but take all the background files as well. You can make it show you a list of the applications, and it will take all the stuff out in the background. It can find any files that have been left from previously uninstalled items. It's free. I use it quite a bit. Really, really neat tool. Just to have kind of sat there ready for when you use it and need it.
Excellent, mate. Like that. Good. My cool thing, I'm trying to find a link to it, but I can't find it. Because the one I'm finding is not it. So I've been, I don't know whether it's just the winter thing and the fact there's maybe a bit of snow in the ground, or in the air rather, but I've gone through and looked for winter sports games of late in the App Store, and I found a couple, the Slalom Ski and Ski Jump Pro, which I didn't like that much, and there's one called Winter Sports, which I paid $2.99 for, which was brilliant. It's got loads of sports on it. It's very old-style gaming, but it's actually really good gameplay. But the one I did get was Curling 3D HD. And you're going to go, oh, Jesus Christ, you and curling. Yeah. And actually, it's gripping. I love playing it. I sat the other day playing it while I was waiting to go into a meeting. I had an hour to kill in a car park, and that was it. And it's great. You do a little point thing. You do a little rotate. So you set the rotation on it and that kind of thing. And then the guy go down, and you rub your finger over the top if you want to skate your stone on. And it's really good. I'm really enjoyed it.
It looks amazing.
If you want to buy it, it's $4.99. So, and it's one of those. When I got it, it was like it contains in-app purchases. I'm like, oh, bugger off! You don't want to do that. But actually, there's only one in-app purchase, which is just buy it, and it's $4.99, and that's it. If you want to do the multiplayer online stuff, you have to pay a monthly fee, which I'm not going to do. I just play against the computer, and I'm up to intermediate at the moment, and I can beat it on intermediate, but only just. So I'm going to go to hard soon, and it should be kind of cool. Curling 3D HD 3D. 3D HD. Brilliant chaps. Where can we get a hold of you?
Oh, on a biker on Twitter and in these.
Bob's already got a Spider 10 Pro. Bob's already got everything. Where would you be, Jeffrey?
I am over at textexpander.com and on all the podcasts. And then on social media, you can find me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm JGam at both places.
Joe's just typed in, clean my Mac has got malware.
No, they don't. Like, I've never had any issues with that.
No, I've got clean my Mac. I love it.
Yeah.
It's on set app. Brilliant.
That's where I get it.
Love it to bits. I'm going to call BS on that one.
Mm-hmm.
See, not only does he not work, he creates mischief. I'm never coming again. Patrice, where are you?
Every week here on the Mac Show and the Big Show and everything I do on thepatrice.com.
That's Mac Cleaner, Joe. And what's the one? Yeah, that's the one that sponsored.
Mac Keeper,
that's the one. God, that is herpes for your Mac.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It is awful. Don't do Mac Keeper, ever.
Nope.
No, spot on. Where are you, Cal?
You can find us on all the socials, Twitter. You're more than welcome to give us a ring, drop us an email. My Twitter's Ohio Callum, if you want to come and find me. And just finally, to add the cherry on top of the cake, the sign fell down again.
And get your Mac fixed by these boys and get it sped up by these boys. They're all brilliant. Excellent. Although I've taken the piss out of Joe relentlessly today. Sorry.
Just get that tape. That tape, it won't come down if you buy that tape. It's only £6 a roll. Bloody hell.
Okay.
Now, the problem is we have to take it down every time we've finished because, well, this is our parts cupboard, so the board needs to go. So, professional to the end.
That's all right, mate.
Velcro, then.
Velcro.
Not a bad idea.
That'll work. My name's Ewan Rankin. Get me at Ewan Rankin on Twitter. You can follow the network at British Tech. You can follow me on Instagram at 12 Space Media if you want. And we'll be back again next week. Friday, in here, with the Iron Man Mac boys, having some fun, drinking a few sherbets, and having a great time. See you next week. Have a great weekend. Thanks for listening.